wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.
Develop these bars for the developing stars, whoa. Wrecked by the stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, cause college is bleak, man. Knees of the bees, man. Devi happy hour now. I trust him with everything. Every compliment's giving me confidence. Hippin' is hopping and really no stopping. I'm Mickey with champion, y'all put a sock in it. But this is life, bro. They're at it all night though. So you can just drive slow and get down with the Devi crew.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are listening, wherever you are listening. This is the Devi Happy Hour, episode number 52 overall, number 14 for us. My name is Skip Newton, and I am so happy to be back with you. I am not even going to get into my usual pre-show stuff because I'm so excited to bring on my co-host from North Carolina. It's Matthew Jackson. We call him Obi-Wan. How are you doing, Matt?
Doing good, man. It's a beautiful morning here in North Carolina. I'm excited to get on Talks of Football. It's going to be a little different here without our Master Yoda on with us, but I'm still excited to wrap up week one and talk some football with you, man.
Yeah, as Matt suggested there, Brian Shikochas is banana land busy. Just can't make it. He's an educator for his real job, and school has got him tied down, so we're going to miss him. So people will not be hearing the wonderful sounds of the Boston accent from Mr. Shikochas. I just love saying his name now that he taught me how to pronounce it. So, but we will do our best to fill in for the college football slut. And Matt, news breaking for you, just in case you missed it, football's back.
You know, I had heard something about football being back. I don't know if I heard it through the grapevine or where I heard it from. Man, yeah, football's back. Man, we get some Saturday football. I didn't think it was going to happen, but I spent all day last Saturday on my couch. My wife was out of town, so I got to watch football all day from 12 p.m. to whenever that Clemson game ended last weekend.
Oh, man, it was so nice. It's awesome to be back here, and we don't have to talk about what might happen. We don't have to talk about all the bad news that seemed to be on every single podcast in our news section. We can actually talk about football games that we've watched and enjoyed, and then top that off with actual good news. The Big Ten is coming back the weekend of the 23rd and 24th, and on top of that, my team, the Minnesota Golden Gophers, row the boat. Rashad Bateman is attempting to come back and not skip this season. I feel like I should start singing the Rouser right now. I'm so excited.
Dude, I remember you texting me yesterday. Didn't know if you'd heard the news or not, but I was like, Skip, Rashad Bateman might be coming back. I was like, I was pumped for you. Like,
oh my God.
Not only pumped because I might get to see Rashad Bateman play another season, but I was like, Skip gets to have some help on that Minnesota team.
My phone was blowing up. I mean, between the Twitter, between the different text messages I was getting, my group chat and all the different, you know, chat apps that I have, everyone was talking about Bateman. Of course, that's what happens when you're in this Devi community. You know, you get a top player like that, you know, announcing a comeback, and everyone just gets excited because, just like you, we all want to watch football. So I am pumped that's happening. It's kind of funny how it's working out for us, you know, with the college football season being in such flux and, you know, the canceling of non-conference games, but the conference is now starting at different periods. It actually gives us more time on a Saturday to focus on a specific conference or some teams that we want to watch, instead of having, you know, all these teams playing, you know, 10, 12 games at each time slate, if not more, where it's too much to watch every game. I mean, nobody can watch every game, even if you're recording them. That's just crazy unless that's all you're doing. But now you can say, all right, I want to pick, you know, one or two games I'm going to flip between at the 11 o'clock Central time, you know, for those of us here in Eagan, Minnesota. But, you know, you get the 2:30 games, you get the 6 o'clock game, then, you know, the night game, whatever. And it's not like overwhelming with all these conferences. So we get a couple weeks to focus on, you know, the ACC and the Big 12. Then the SEC starts up, you know, next weekend. And then 4 weeks later, we'll get the Big 10. And who knows if the you know, if the other, you know, the other conferences that have opted out will come back, it'll be interesting to watch that. But I'm loving it. It's kind of working out perfectly.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to hit on that point you said, it's harder to watch when you've got 20 games every Saturday to watch. I mean, you can't focus as in-depth on the specific players as you can now, where we've got a conference-only schedule, and you've got, I think there's like 7 or 8 games on today, and that's it. So we can focus more on the individual players, which is just awesome. I'm excited for Big Ten back. I get to watch the Ohio State University play when they come back on. So we talked a lot about that firepower offense, you know, when we covered the Big Ten and Ohio State, and especially the freshman class, that big three freshmen they have coming in. So I'm super excited to see what Justin Fields can do with that team, man. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that you know, that we've talked about it so many times. That team is just absurdly talented, and they're so fun to watch. So yeah, we'll all get treated to that. I love that they finally worked it out. You know, the Big Ten, you know, made a decision that I think, you know, they thought was in their best interest and a good decision at the time, and then clearly there was some backpedaling and some confusion, you know, in the weeks to follow. But it sounds like they've regrouped and made another decision that they feel is now the best decision at the time. And that, I have no problem with that. I think in general, I wish people were just more willing to come out and publicly say, hey, you know, we made a decision. We thought it was right. Turns out it wasn't. So now we're fixing it and move on. I think generally when you admit that you made a mistake and you fix it, people are pretty forgiving. But boy, it's hard for people in general to do that.
And you know, the underlining story through all this is, I don't think it's going to get mentioned enough, but since Shaq's not here, I can say it. Skip, me and you were right. We have football. You know, Shaq was the one that was wrong in this whole situation, so I feel like that needs to be pointed out.
I was actually going to introduce myself as Skip the Optimistic Fool Newton. But as it turns out, at least for now, and this is what he's, you know, he's listening to this because the poor guy has to, he's too busy to do the podcast, but he still has to do the edit. He's listening to this and he goes, oh, these guys, if this season goes absolutely, you know, banana land in the wrong way, and I'm going to use his term banana land as often as I can now in his honor, he is just going to rub our noses in it, and we're going to have to just tuck our tail between our legs and take it. So what we're going to do today is, you know, we got one mailbag thing that we're going to talk about, a question from the listener, which is a fun one. We've got more coming up in future episodes. I think we'll just mix those in every week. Our goal here is to really do a weekly podcast, and it might be one of those situations where not all three of us can make it. So we'll do with it with whoever can show up. But today we're going to just, you know, let's talk about that first week before we get into the show sheet specifically. Matt, was there anything from the games that you watched in general that you kind of observed, or what did you like, dislike? I know I was locked into my monthly poker league game that evening, so I missed the evening slate of games. But I at least I won the poker tournament, so that was nice. Shout out to my man Felix Sharp, who's played a lot with us when we were playing online, but now that we're back in person in the garage, he obviously couldn't make it. But Felix, you were missed. Hope all is well, buddy. But anyway, Matt, what'd you see? What do you think?
So I've got one thing that I was excited to see and one thing that was kind of different, I guess. So my excited, right, was I was watching the Clemson football game last Saturday. And as you know, Clemson's going to blow most guys out of the water because it's a conference-only schedule. That's just the way it's going to work this year. But I was super stoked to see how much playing time the freshmen on Clemson's team got. DJ Uiagalelei, DeMarcus Bowman, even EJ Williams got in there and got some snaps. And then not only Clemson, just the amount of rookie playing time that I saw across the board. I mean, there were several rookies that got first team reps, you know, from week one. And with lack of training camp, that's not something that you expected to see all that much. So I was super excited to see that. One thing that was kind of different for me was definitely, I think, I noticed a lack of energy level between all the games I was watching. You know, it's hard to, and I count that, you know, it's hard to play a football game in front of a stadium with absolutely zero fan attendance. So that plays a big part of it. But it almost felt like some of these games were just practice and walkthroughs more than, hey, there's an actual football game on TV. So the energy level was definitely something that was surprising to see. I don't know if that's going to be the norm from now on, but it was definitely something that threw me off a little bit.
Yeah, I noticed that too. It did seem like there was a little bit of a lack of intensity. I wonder too if, you know, the typical season, you're going to have at least two or three non-conference games for, you know, for these really big schools. And, you know, they're usually against smaller schools. I think that helps those teams kind of, you know, build into the conference schedule, and it, you know, it kind of amps up to that. And there's a general, you know, a general crescendo into a more intense, okay, now it's the conference games. We've had, you know, three games to get ready for this. You know, the games obviously count, but the intensity level is definitely different. Whereas now they just jump right in, you know, the whole preseason's been completely out of whack. I mean, I heard quotes, I don't know what team it was. It might have been North Carolina's coach or another team they were talking about on you know, game day, where they basically said, hey, they asked players, and the players were saying a week before, we have no idea if we're even going to play. So if they're not even sure they're going to be playing games, it's got to be a little bit harder to get in that typical mindset that they're in, you know, season after season.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if they don't know they're going to play, and even if they do play, they're not playing in the same circumstances that they're used to playing in, it's hard to get amped up for a game the way that you normally would, for sure.
Yeah, and you know, getting back to your comment about the, you know, the freshmen getting a lot of playing time, that is one of the side benefits to a team like, you know, Clemson or Texas, if they're playing against a, you know, a lesser opponent where it's going to be pretty much a blowout. I think that really does open up the door for these freshmen to get in there and play right away. I didn't see any of the night games, like I said, so I missed out on, you know, DeMarcus Bowman, Bijan Robinson from Texas, but I was trying to follow along on my phone as much as I could and saw that they were getting time, but it didn't look like, you know, anything exciting was happening, but just nice to see him on the field. I was disappointed, you know, earlier in the day that, you know, my guy from Georgia Tech, Jahmyr Gibbs, was held out for the week. So I don't know if he's got an injury. I haven't caught that, but he's out, and I think he's out again today. But I'm really excited to see him, you know, step on the field when he gets a chance.
You know, I tweeted that out last Saturday. I had the same question where Jahmyr Gibbs was, and I think I can't remember who responded to it and gave me an article about it, but so I'm not going to be able to quote it correctly. So if you're listening and it was you, thank you. But somebody responded to me, and Jahmyr Gibbs had some, I forget what injury issues he had, but he was being held out for some injury issues. That's why he wasn't playing last Saturday. But yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, where's Gibbs at? I was so excited to watch him.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get into our first topic. We're going to talk about, you know, a player or two that we have, you know, kind of moving up the rankings, a player or two moving down, and then, you know, one guy that we're both just kind of meh on, and, you know, total Z or snooze fest, if you will. Matt, your guy, quarterback, first guy moving up the rankings. Let's talk about him. Who do you got?
So one guy that I have moving up the rankings is Spencer Rattler. If you happen to get behind the paywall, I know Oklahoma was a pay-per-view game last Saturday. So if you happen to be able to tune in and watch that game, what you saw was another example of a Lincoln Riley quarterback absolutely smashing in that offense. I mean, Spencer Rattler looked every bit the hype that we projected him to be over the last year or so. I mean, this dude was accurate all levels of the field. There were several highlights where he threw just absolutely beautiful bombs to, I don't know, one was to Charleston Rambo. I forget who the other one was to. But, I mean, he looked every bit the part. He was accurate. He was mobile. I mean, cannon for an arm. I mean, this guy absolutely lived up to the hype. So if there's anybody that is moving up the ranks for me, it's definitely Spencer Rattler. I mean, this guy was everything you wanted him to be, and as another example of why you want the Oklahoma quarterback.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that I need to reassess my assessment. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of film on him going in. He hasn't played that much, but, you know, it's also one of those situations where I have to trust the Devy community and the people around me. You know, everybody loves this guy, and, you know, it's only a matter of time before I get a chance to really, you know, take a look at him and say, all right, it's time to move him up my rankings as well, because I also like Spencer Rattler. My guy that I was intrigued by, and I'm going to have him moving up a couple pegs, was running back Michael Carter from North Carolina. Really enjoyed his energy. It seemed like whenever he got the ball in his hands, he kicked it into another gear. He had a second level that was above almost like everyone else on the field as far as, you know, is that intensity and energy. I mean, he was explosive at times. I like him as kind of that, you know, dark horse running back to come out of nowhere. I mean, I'm not going to have delusions of grandeur and say that this guy's, you know, going to be a three down back in the NFL and you should be, you know, snapping him up on all your Devy rosters. But I think if he can continue to show that explosion that he did, you know, last weekend, there's a chance for him to catch, you know, a lot more passes and make himself into a good third down option even at the next level. I mean, I'm pretty sure he had like 21 catches last season, and he already had, you know, six last weekend. Man, you do the math there. If he's starting to get, you know, 6, 7, 8 targets a game and he catches, you know, 5 or 6 of them, those numbers are going to look really impressive. And if he shows well at the combine, this kid could be someone to keep an eye on. Probably still a day 3 pick, but I like him.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael Carter was definitely one of the, I'm going to say this and I'm going to get bombarded for it, but one of the lone bright spots of that game on Saturday. There was a lot going on that I was not too thrilled about in that Carolina game that we're going to hit on here later, but Michael Carter definitely looked good. I mean, he looked explosive. He was the focal point and the firepower of that offense most of the day Saturday. So yeah, he looked good. He's definitely somebody that I have to move up on my rankings. If not a lot, just a little bit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, some honorable mentions that we talked about too. I had another running back, Cameron Harris, you know, I thought looked really good last weekend. And then I also noted Spencer Rattler. Who do you have is just a couple other guys that you're keeping an eye on that might be moving up if you see more good things from him?
Yeah, so Jordan Addison from Pitt, you know, we talked about how the freshman got a lot of playing times. I like the way he was used in the slot and got a lot of those first team reps. His stat line didn't look, you know, over the top, but he looked really good all day on Saturday. Another guy, Amari Rodgers, that we hit on whenever we covered Clemson. He's one guy that people have been waiting to break out for a while now, and he had a great stat line and was the leading receiver on that team compared to another guy that we thought was going to be the leading receiver on that team. So he looked really good. So Jordan Addison, Pitt, Amari Rodgers from Clemson, definitely two guys to keep an eye on.
Yep, did you hear that, Shaq? We brought in Jordan Addison. That's for you. We know he's your guy. Yeah, I noticed that about Amari Rodgers as well. You know, it was interesting how the senior stepped up and had a big game. Everyone's looking for, you know, the other two, you know, Ladson and Nagata. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, how that works itself out over the course of the season. One of the bigger questions that I have going into the season is who's gonna fill all those wide receiver targets with the Clemson Tigers. Moving on to a player that you're moving down your board, and you mentioned that Michael Carter was one of the lone bright spots for North Carolina. Were there any less bright spots that you want to mention at this time?
There were. So I'll admit I had a tough time picking between two guys that I wanted to do for this one player moving down. An honorable mention, I kind of wanted to go with Brock Purdy a little bit. Just watching his game on Saturday, he looked absolutely awful all day. I mean, he didn't look accurate. He didn't look like he knew what he was doing out there. So he was one guy that I kind of wanted to throw in there. But I did end up going with my boy from North Carolina, Sam Howell. And before I get too deep into this, I want to throw out there that I had Sam Howell as QB number 3, right behind Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. So him moving down, not that I'm going to move him down a whole lot, but he's still got to move down a little bit from that performance on Saturday from QB 3. I mean, when you look at his game, Syracuse was playing this really weird 3-3-5 defense, and for the life of me and for the life of Sam Howell, he couldn't figure out how to read this 3-3-5 defense. I mean, he was staring down receivers all day. He was throwing the ball into what was single coverage but quickly became double coverage after staring down receivers. He didn't look like the Sam Howell of last year, bottom line. I mean, you saw the Sam Howell we got last year, and that was not close to what we got this Saturday. He's got a lot of work to do before I feel comfortable putting him up back at QB3. I mean, Syracuse has got some great players on defense. I don't want to take anything away from Syracuse. They've got some NFL prospects on that defensive backfield. But if you're the QB3 and you're a top prospect in your class coming out into the NFL, you've got to put on a better performance against Syracuse than what you put on.
I totally see what you're saying, because, you know, I watched that game pretty much from start to finish, and it was interesting how, you know, the first drive, he takes him, you know, right down the field and throws a touchdown pass. And I was like, well, Howell's clearly picking up where he left off. I mean, that looked it was some struggles along the way, but every time they, you know, they had a penalty or a sack, they were able to overcome it, and he made some nice throws. And then basically he did nothing until the fourth quarter. It was just, you know, he looked off. He looked like he was, you know, like you said, kind of confused, you know, threw a couple interceptions. One was a pretty, you know, pretty bang bang play by the defense where, you know, they were able to knock it out of the wide receiver's hands, and it tipped straight into another defender. So it wasn't really a bad throw, but, you know, just nice play by the defense. But yeah, it was a struggle. That said, I'm not ready to move a guy down based on his first game of his sophomore season after he had such a phenomenal, you know, true freshman season. You know, when you go out and you throw for the third most touchdown passes in ACC history, and it's not ACC history for a freshman, it's ACC history overall of all time, that's something that I'm still going to hold in higher regard than the one game. But definitely want to see, you know, does he come out in game two and look sharper and can make, you know, the throws that we're, you know, more familiar with. You know, we didn't get to see a whole lot from the dynamic duel of Daz Newsome and Diami Brown. Want to see them get more involved. Either way, I had no idea that Diami Brown's younger brother was also a wide receiver on the team, so that was kind of cool, but that'll just cause some confusion for those of you watching and not paying enough attention.
And it's unfortunate because we don't get to watch them this week. The game against Charlotte got canceled this week, so we're going to have to wait another week to see if they can put it together this week.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
That's something that I'm not looking forward to.
I hate looking at my, you know, my sports app to see, okay, what's the schedule looking like? And you see postponed, canceled, postponed. It's like, ugh. But we'll just take what we can get. That's not a complaint. My guy moving down, and not that he was a highly ranked guy, but I just wanted to mention him again because it's from the same game, and it's the other quarterback, Tommy DeVito, quarterback from Syracuse. You know, DeVito, he is a four-star prospect, but he left plays all over the field that game. I mean, there were when that 2.5 quarters of North Carolina struggling, and really, you know, the three of us, you know, with Shaq, were texting, like, how is North Carolina not getting beat by, you know, two touchdowns at this point? And a lot of it had to do with the fact that, you know, there were two reasons, and don't worry, Shaq, I'm not going to leave the big one out. One of the reasons was DeVito missed guys open down the field that could have really, you know, blown things open in Syracuse's favor. So that was one that was, it was pretty disappointing because these were not hard. These are throws that quarterbacks should be making at that level, especially for a guy that's got his, you know, his pedigree. And so I was really disappointed in that. The other one, of course, the reason why Syracuse was struggling with special teams, and we know there is not a better analyst in the industry when it comes to special teams than our guy Brian. So kudos to you, man. But that was my observation of DeVito and what was going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit on the overthrowing receivers. I mean, when you look at DeVito's stat line, he passed for less than 50%, zero touchdowns, and he probably should have had two or three that game because, I mean, there were several plays where, I mean, he had a receiver wide open in the back of the end zone and just completely overthrows him. So, I mean, that was something. I mean, when we were all texting, we were like, Syracuse should be up by about 21 points by right now, and it just never ended up coming to fruition. So, you know, Carolina got lucky in that aspect, but not everybody is going to have as bad a passing day as DeVito did that day. So Carolina's got to step it up at the same time.
Right. And that, you know, that makes the difference between, you know, good teams and bad teams, right? Bad teams don't take advantage of the opportunities that are placed in front of them. And they don't, you know, put the hammer down on their opponent. And then eventually their opponent stops playing poorly and, you know, kicks some butt the rest of the way. So, moving on to kind of our meh player, who's the guy that you got, Matt?
So for me, I got Ian Book, quarterback from Notre Dame. When you look at his stat line, he was 19 for 31 for 263 yards, one touchdown and one interception, which, okay, you know, that's a meh stat line for anybody you play. But he was playing Duke, right? So Duke's not got the best football team out there. So when you look at him, I mean, he only had one interception. But when I was watching that game, there were several plays where defensive backs dropped the ball. He probably should have had about three interceptions that game, if we're being completely honest. So he's one guy that I mean, I know several analysts in the college football community were touting him as a possible dark horse for Heisman this year, and that is not a Heisman performance in the slightest. So he's one guy that I'm just like, I mean, Notre Dame's the same every year, right? I mean, they're this highly ranked team that, for some reason, at least for me, always feels like not living up quite to the potential that their ranking shows them living up to. So Ian Book was just one guy that was just like, you know, it was not a great day against not a great team.
Yeah, I agree. He's definitely one where, you know, I'm not moving him up, not moving him down, just kind of a, yeah, whatever. We'll see if he can step up. Who do you got as an honorable mention?
So this is another one that's going to create a little bit of controversy, but for an honorable mention, I've got Joe Ngata. And when I say Joe Ngata here, I'm not meaning that I am just sleeping on him and I don't want any shares of him whatsoever, right? But when you look at his performance on Saturday, he was completely, at least in my eyes, schemed out of that game. I mean, they were much more concerned with going to their tight end and going to Amari Rodgers than they were going to Joe Ngata that game. And I don't know if that was just the scheme that was drawn up or he wasn't creating separation or what the issue was, but he was one guy that, you know, he had these just lofty preseason expectations that he was going to step in and just absolutely smash this year, and that's not what ended up happening week one. Now it's week one, he can end up smashing the rest of the year, and I could end up biting the bullet on this one. But he's one guy that didn't look all that great either.
I totally hear what you're saying there. It's one of those things where I think a lot of people like us, you get excited for these young, you know, just highly talented, highly recruited athletes that haven't broken out yet, and you build them up, everybody's talking about them, and you know the opportunity is there. You know that the targets are available in Clemson. You know, this, you've got the 101 in Trevor Lawrence at quarterback. You've got a great offense, a great running game. It's like, man, we want to see this guy explode so we can all be like, you know, yes, we knew it, we got it. And then he comes out game one and just, you know, nothing. It's like, ugh. Come on, do something. Maybe, you know, yeah, I want to get excited about you, but yeah, I totally get it. We're not down on him, but you want something to get more excited about. The two guys that I had were the pair of wide receivers for Louisville, Dez Fitzpatrick and Braden Smith. They both had really good games, 4 catches for 110 yards each, or, you know, Shaq would say 110 yards, but neither one of these guys are, in my opinion, guys you really should be looking at in a Devy league. They're not the ones I want, you know, especially from Louisville. The guy that people really want is Tutu Atwell, who had a decent game, you know, 7 catches, 78 yards. But Atwell's got just an explosive level of speed. I mean, he is a fun guy to watch. So he's the one that I'm really looking at in that offense. I think the other two guys are just, you know, they're going to benefit from a good team, pretty good quarterback. So I'm not getting excited about their stat lines whatsoever.
Yeah, I think Tutu Atwell opens that offense up a little bit. So they're definitely not ones that are, I mean, they had good games, but 4 catches, I mean, those are chunk plays. So another guy that I was kind of down on that team that I just kind of wanted to hit on a little bit too was Javian Hawkins. I mean, when he had a 3.7 yards per carry, I mean, he looked decent. He didn't look terrible, but he didn't look like the guy that was getting all this Twitter love a few months ago either. So,
yeah, exactly. And I did hear that he's put on a little bit of weight, because I know that was a concern that we talked about, you know, during our, you know, off-season podcast. But if he's got his weight up there closer to 200, at least that's encouraging. So, moving on, we've got our mailbag, kind of a fun topic. This comes from Dan Theory at Theory BFF, friend of the podcast, friend of mine, you know, through Twitter, love the guy. We're also, you know, Vikings fans, so we love to commiserate together and, you know, drown in our beer. He is a co-host of the Beer-Fueled Fantasy podcast, which if you're not listening to, those guys have a blast. They are a lot of fun. But he asked us to compare 2021, you know, rookies that are coming out next year, so Devy prospects coming out in the 2021 draft, to Star Wars movies, and he restricted it to the, you know, the nine original ones. We are not going to go over all 9 today, because we like to save the fun for future episodes. So we'll just work this in as we have time into future episodes. But I grabbed episode one, The Phantom Menace, and I probably could have put in a few comps on this one. Trying to think of who the most annoying player in the 2021 draft would be, because I'd obviously compared him to Jar Jar Binks, but I couldn't come up with it. But I did come up with a comp that I liked, the Purdue wide receiver Rondale Moore, of course, highly recruited wide receiver, super talented, had an awesome freshman season, and he, you know, was injured for a lot of last year, as everyone knows, and then opted out of the 2020 season, so he's going straight to the draft. I compare him to Jedi Master Qui-Gon Jinn in that you've got an awesome player and a great character, but they killed off Qui-Gon at the end of the movie. So basically it's one movie for Qui-Gon, one fantastic season for Rondale, and then there's nothing more. We're done. We have to just move on. So we kind of got cheated out of more Rondale Moore, just like we got cheated out of more Qui-Gon. I mean, unless you watch the Clone Wars animated series, you don't get any more Qui-Gon until, like, you know, the end part of episode 9, where she's hearing all of the Jedi's, you know, voices, and that they're, you know, in her, we've got, you know, in your back, you can do it, that kind of thing. He's actually one of the voices there, but otherwise you get nothing. So how do you like that comparison?
Man, Qui-Gon was always, when I watched episode 1, he was always that character that always frustrated me, because, you know he's an awesome Jedi Master, just like, you know, Rondale Moore is an awesome wide receiver, but you can't quite figure out why he ended up dying the way he died. So that's just the comparison that I make with Rondale Moore. He's this awesome wide receiver that you can't quite figure out why you didn't get more tape and more seasons on him, because you should have, and it's not fair. And that's the comparison I make between the two.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish they would have, well, I mean, if we're really getting into it, I wish they would have done all three of those first movies differently, because, man, that was just a train wreck for a lot of it. We won't even get into episode 2 and the love story that they threw in there between Anakin and Padme. But moving on, I'm going to get to skip over to yours next. You jumped to episode 9. Tell us about the Rise of Skywalker comparison.
So for episode 9, Rise of Skywalker, my comparison for that movie is Max Borgi. And for that, you know, Rise of Skywalker was a very hyped up movie. We were all excited to see it. Just like Max Borgi, in my opinion, is a very hyped up prospect. And he's a Debbie darling in a lot of circles. But when you watch the movie, you kind of get left with a little bit of disappointment. And I find myself, when I watch Max Borgi, he doesn't quite live up to the hype. You know, he's this awesome, he's this great pass catcher, but his yards after the catch aren't that great. He needs to really improve in running between the tackles and improve in his usage in the running game. So he's one guy that, for me, is just doesn't quite live up to the hype as he's getting. Just like Rise of Skywalker for me didn't quite live up to the hype that it was getting when it came out in theaters.
I totally agree with you on Max Borgi. I've pretty much avoided him in every draft. You know, I'll go back to the line from our guy Dan Theory. You know, don't hate the player, hate his ADP. And where he's getting drafted, I'm not a fan. It's too high for me. So I do not have any shares of Mr. Borgi. But I really did enjoy episode 9, Rise of Skywalker. I liked, you know, a couple of the plot twists. One of the things that I hate about when they preview movies, and this is a prime example. Like, you knew going into this movie that Lando Calrissian was coming back, you know, because they showed him in the previews. Yeah. It's like, why do you do that? Why can't you take
all the spoilers out of it?
Right, leave it out. And then when he, you know, because when he shows up, you know, he's got a mask on, so you can't see him. And because he was, you know, he's conscious of wearing a mask in these times, so he was ahead of the game, ahead of the curve. He wore his mask, but, you know, he's got a mask on, so you can't tell. But I remember, as soon as I saw it, I looked at my son, who's watching the movie with me. I said, "That's Lando." He's like, "What?" I was like, "Oh yeah, for sure." And, you know, of course it was. And it was like, I wonder if I'd have been able to make that call had I not, you know, if I hadn't known it was in the movie ahead of time. Yeah. So I hate when they do that. And, you know, Star Wars isn't the only one that does that kind of stuff, but it's like, just leave something that we don't know. Like, I mean, at least they didn't tell us, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen this movie already, what the hell rock have you been living under? But, you know, that the, you know, the, you knew the Emperor was coming back, but you didn't know that there was, that he had a granddaughter in that whole sequence. So that was kind of cool. Kind of stealing off the whole, you know, Luke, I am your father, Darth Vader episode five, which was obviously the best one of all nine. And I will not hear any arguments to the contrary that Empire Strikes Back was not the best. So
I'll keep it myself then.
It's the best of the original nine. That's what I'm going with. You want to throw in the Rogue One, I'll definitely have that discussion.
Okay, good, because that's where I was going with it. I just want
Rogue
to
One is awesome. That's a great one for sure. The last one we're going to do in this comparison is, I went back to the first three in the, you know, numerical order, and I went to Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. Easily, in my opinion, the best of the three, you know, the prequels that they did, only because it was a little darker for obvious reasons, and I thought that the action stuff was pretty good. But I made the comp of Anakin Skywalker to Florida State wide receiver Tamorian Terry. And not that Tamorian Terry, you know, is going to turn into this evil person that everybody's going to hate, but more that you could see his rise to greatness coming. You know, obviously we knew what was going to happen with Anakin becoming Darth Vader, but you can see that with Tamorian Terry. We're all just waiting for it. We respect his talent, like we respect Anakin Skywalker's power. He has the ability to dominate, but he's also flawed. You know, obviously Anakin Skywalker is a flawed character, and Tamorian Terry has a flaw that continues to rear its ugly head, and that is the drop passes. They are becoming a concern. They did happen last year as well. I heard a stat, I think, last year, and this isn't getting to the drops, but to talk about how explosive Terry is, that he averaged, I think, 59 yards per touchdown or something crazy like that. I mean, it's absurd how explosive this guy is. And it was on display, you know, last Saturday, but he dropped the ball. And it was a perfect pass, hit him right in the hands, and it looked like from the replay he was already turning his body, you know, down the field, so he would have stayed in bounds. And I think he was already far enough ahead of the defensive back where if he catches it, it's a 70-plus touchdown catch. But he dropped that one, and I think he had a drop earlier in the game too on a shorter route. That I'm a little worried about that, because if that continues, that's going to be a problem come draft time. I think that he's going to slip farther into day two than we would expect.
Yeah. What's that famous line in episode three when he's burning and he's staring up at Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan goes, "You're supposed to be the chosen one," right? And I feel like that's what it is with Tamorian Terry. You know, he's gotten all this hype on Twitter. You know, I've been one of the ones that's like really raving Tamorian Terry, and he's gotten all this hype about how his draft stock's going to shoot up. But these pass drops, they are a concern. And, you know, when I think of one guy that, you know, kind of fits Tamorian Terry's mold a little bit, and he's a big receiver that was fast, but he also had some issues with his hands, and his name was Hakeem Butler. And not that I'm saying Tamorian Terry is going to have the same career path as Hakeem Butler's had, but you can kind of see some of the same traits where you can see Tamorian Terry's draft stock dropping a little bit because of this, because teams don't want guys that your job is to catch passes, and drop passes are going to be an issue if that's your job.
Yeah, absolutely. I want him to be so good. I mean, I am ready to move him up a tier, to move him up in my rankings if he has a breakout season. You know, I mean, he already had a breakout season, but if he follows that up with another great year, I mean, honestly, I'm ready to move him ahead of Rondale Moore. Don't come at me, Ray Garvin. He ducks for cover, but I do favor the bigger wide receivers. They have so much more advantage over their defensive backs, especially if they're still fast. And he's fast. You know, he might not be Rondale Moore fast, but you can throw him the ball, you know, on those jump ball type situations, or throw it up high and he can go up and get it. And you just don't have that with a wide receiver that's 5'9". Despite how much I do love Rondale Moore, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying I'm ready to make that jump, but he's got to make me make it. I'm not going to just give it to him.
Yeah.
So before we get to the end here, I did want to ask, since you know week one of the NFL season is in the books, we should at least talk about how did you do in week one in your fantasy leagues?
It was not good, Skip. I think, you know, week one's always a weird week anyway, because you never know what guys are going to get snaps, what guys are going to get schemed towards. So week one's always hard, but I'm dead set that every week one, every season, I'm just going to take a bunch of L's. I think I might have won 2 or 3 weeks, and I have significantly more teams than that. So it was not a good week for me. Overall, you know, it was just a weird week anyway. I think we only had like 2 or 3 running backs go over the 100-yard mark, and they weren't running backs that we would have expected to go over the 100-yard mark. So it was just a weird week, but I'm hoping for better outcomes this week.
Yeah, me too. For the first time, so this is my third straight year in the Scott Fish Bowl, and for the first time, I'm 0-1. And it's like, oh, that doesn't feel good at all. And I know you got in with that Matt Jackson string of fantasy luck that you had, where on the first day of the Scott Fish Bowl, I don't think we've ever talked about this on the podcast.
All
the
draft
first day.
Somebody
doesn't show up for his draft and you got added, which was awesome. But did you happen to win in the Scott Fish Bowl?
I did not happen to win in the Scott Fish Bowl. I think I lost. I'm going to try and pull it up right now, but I think I might have lost by 10 or 15 points. But when you look at my division, I had the second or third most points. So in a string of that's how fantasy works, you know, you can be one of the higher scoring teams and still lose because fantasy is fickle like that.
But the good news about the Scott Fish Bowl is that points really do matter when getting into the playoffs. So you don't have to have the best record. I mean, if you win 8 games out of 12, you're in. But if you have enough points, you're going to get in. So at least you got a lot of points. So that's a good thing. I got killed by the quarterback scoring. And I thought I made really smart choices at quarterback. But your guy, Carson Wentz, was a train wreck against
Don't even get me started on that, Skip. I mean, I was screaming at the TV all day. I said, if Carson Wentz gets sacked one more time, I'm going to lose my mind.
Dude, I'm a Vikings fan. The only thing that they did well was they practiced social distancing in their secondary because they weren't within 6 feet of anybody, like, all game long. I mean, Aaron Rodgers had all day to throw, and his wide receivers were open all game long. Literally, our two best plays on defense in the second half were drop passes by Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
So, well, you know, we had some offensive line issues, and it's a good thing we're not playing a good offensive or good defensive line this coming week. Oh, wait a minute, we got a trip to Aaron Donald and the Rams.
Yikes! So,
this is going to be another week where Carson Wentz hits the ground. He's going to get hurt.
So, really quick for people that aren't aware that the Scott Fishbowl scoring on quarterbacks, he mixes up the scoring every year, but the one that he did this year is just, I mean, it's just crushing me. It's like I'm getting kidney punched by Scott Fish himself, and he lives in Eagan, so he probably could find me and do it. But if for quarterbacks, every incomplete pass, you lose a point, and every sack taken, you lose a point. So there was a play, because one of my two quarterbacks is Matt Stafford. There is a play in, you know, at the end of the game, right, he's trying to tie the game against the Bears. A perfect pass to DeAndre Swift in the end zone, and Swift drops it. And it's like, did I not get the touchdown pass, which is, you know, probably 6 points, right, in this league, I lose a point because he dropped the ball. It's like, oh, that's killing me.
And you gotta hate that for Swift, too. I mean, I felt bad for Swift, man.
So I actually have DeAndre Swift in this league, too, but I didn't start him. I do have to ask, are you telling me that I need to seriously consider benching Carson Wentz for, get ready for it, Mitchell Trubisky?
It's a weird situation we're in now, ain't it? when you look at the second half that Mitchell Trubisky had last year or last week versus the amount of times that Carson Wentz is going to hit the ground because of Aaron Donald this year, or this week, it's...
I know. I'm a little concerned. And granted, Mitch Trubisky doesn't get to face, you know, the Detroit Lions every week, but it's like, man, it's all of a sudden, it's not... You have to really look at the matchup. it's not as just a plug and play type situation. But
well, you got to look at the matchup and you got to play scoring too. I mean, my starting QBs in the Scott Fish Bowl are Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins, and no other world in a Superflex league would I go into a league with Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins as my starting quarterback. But in Scott Fish Bowl, that's not a bad play.
Cousins is a good QB too, but in this league, he's almost a QB one because he is pretty efficient typically. And even last week, he got you a ton of garbage points. But the rest of my leagues, you know, I count that I have 20 leagues because I'm in like three leagues where there's no money at stake. They're just kind of for fun leagues. And, you know, one of them is the podcast one that we're in that, boy, don't even get me started on how bad that team's looking right now. But I went 8-12 in the 20, and two of the 12 are victory points leagues. So you get, you know, your one loss and then you do victory points. And both of those, I got no victory points. So it's really like 8-14, but so not a great start, but obviously there's time.
I'm starting off good this week in one of my leagues. One league I've got Joe Burrow, Kareem Hunt, and Nick Chubb. So Thursday was fun for me.
I have a ton of Tyler Boyd, and that last second touchdown, it was like, thank you. That is just a beautiful, beautiful thing. So anyway, I think we're good here. We're going to wrap this up. Any final thoughts, Matt, and where can people find you and your work?
I'm excited for football, man. I'm glad it's back. I do have one question for you before we wrap up, Skip. So outside of the top 20 matchup of Miami versus Louisville, what's the one game that you're excited to watch today? Because I need help making a decision.
Oh, man, you're going to make me bust out my phone and look at the schedule, aren't you? You know, because my other gig, not counting, you know, doing the rankings at DynastyHappyHour.com and obviously this podcast, is covering the ACC for the Dynasty Draft Room. I do tend to focus on the ACC games because I need to. But let me think here. Man, it is. Yeah, you're right. That was the gimme game, Miami Louisville, just because they're two ranked teams and obviously in the ACC. So I'll be watching that one for sure. I am, because I couldn't get to watch them last week, I'm definitely going to tune in to Clemson playing against a really bad team. Wow, they're only a 46.5-point favorite. I think they'll manage to figure that out. Jeez, that's ridiculous.
You may get to see some DJ Ukulele this week.
Yeah, I think we will. But I'm going to probably flip between the watch a lot of that Syracuse Pitt game. You know, again, another ACC matchup, and then if I can get BC and Duke, I'll try to do that as well. But, you know, there's not a ton of, you know, stud matchups on the docket today. That's a good question. How about you?
I'm really looking forward to, while it's not a stud matchup, I'm looking forward to seeing some Chuba Hubbard. If I don't know if he's opted out or not, that might be a good question. But
he's playing. Should be good.
Is he playing? Yeah, so excited to see that matchup, and then excited to see how much running they do of DeMarcus Bowman in that Clemson matchup, because he's one guy that looked good when given the opportunities last week.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely going to be watching that as well. So tell us about, you know, where people can find you.
So you guys can find me on Twitter at @DHH_Matt. I'm going to be working on updating my rankings here at Dynasty Happy Hour soon. As always, always willing to interact with everybody on Twitter. If you got any questions that you want us to cover in our question segment of our podcast, just reach out to us. We're going to try and do this every week from here on out. So all the more questions we can get, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. And you can find Shaq at Dynasty Tools on Twitter. He's also the film room editor over at Dynasty Nerds, co-host of the Dynasty Tools podcast with, I think it's Jim, right?
Jim,
I love that.
Yeah.
Love that podcast. Those guys are awesome. So be sure to check that out. And I am at SkipNewton31 on Twitter. Like I just mentioned, I'm covering the ACC for Dynasty Draft Room, but also do this podcast, of course, and then rankings on DynastyHappyHour.com. Dynasty Happy Hour has a awesome just family of podcasts, which of course you all are aware of because it's all on the same feed. You don't have to go search for it. It just magically shows up as if out of nowhere, the beauty of the internet. Featuring Dynasty Happy Hour, Tim Keller, Doug Eddy, and Tyler Gunther. Those guys record every Sunday night. They are a ball to listen to. I love those guys. The DHH Contractor is a great podcast hosted by Randy, a.k.a. Memphis, where he goes over a different team's fantasy roster, a dynasty roster, with one of his listeners or Patreons, and you can join Memphis on his pod, and he'll break it down for you and give you a roadmap to success. And then the IDP Power Hour, which I desperately need because I'm in a couple of leagues that are IDP, and it really is, I have no idea what I'm doing. So I need to listen more to Oklahoma Doug and Russ at Clutch Russ 72. Those guys are also so much fun. I mean, you talk about two guys that have a blast. Man, they're laughing half the time. They are a riot. So be sure to check them out, as well as all the articles out on DynastyHappyHour.com. The got a bunch of new guys and girls writing for us. The content has been incredible. I mean, they're kicking them out almost too fast. It's been awesome. So check those out as well. And I just want to say thank you, everyone, for listening. It's been a while, but we are back, and we are going to be back weekly if we can do whatever we can to make that happen. So looking forward to more podcasts coming up. Again, reach out to us and let us know if you have any questions. We'd love to talk about them on the podcast in the future. So football is back. Enjoy it. Embrace it. Love it. Good night, everyone. Be a good human.